Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of Fit Chicks Chat. My name is Laura Jackson, and today we have a super special guest on who is going to be sharing with us not only her experience, but diving deep into the world of fitness competitions. So today we have the honor of Jill Bunny joining us. She is a four-time IFBB bikini champion. She is also the owner of Fit Bunnies, Inc., where she helps women transform their bodies and their health. In addition to that, she's also a functional nutritionist, a life coach, a keynote speaker, and recently she's gone from being an internationally renowned cover model to an MS and cancer fighter as well. So her insight is so deep, her experience is so vast, and we're really honored and excited to have her on today to really share her journey as well as give you guys some insight into what the life of fitness competitions are really like and what you need to do if you are thinking about doing one or if you have done one, where is your next steps after that. So with that, we're going to let her take it away. Welcome, Jill Bunny.
Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fit Chicks Chat. My name is Laura Jackson, and I'm flying solo today. I'm not with Amanda because I have an amazing special guest, and you just heard her intro. We have Jill Bunny joining us. How are you, Jill?
Oh, pretty good. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast today.
I am really excited. I think this is a topic that I probably get the most questions about from in the fitness industry. And like I do a lot to do with nutrition as well. But when it comes to fitness, I have so many women asking me like, should I do a competition? What is competing like? Glorify it, but I wanted to go to the source. I wanted to have somebody who is like a seasoned competitor to talk about what it's like to share the real story. So I'm really excited to have you on.
That's what I'm here for.
Okay, so enough of me blabbing. So I would love to start off by sharing with everybody, you know, your story and how you got into fitness competitions, because you've got a really cool story. So
yeah, if I had 2 hours, I would go into full detail of my craziness, but I won't bore you all too much.
Who knows? So, we'll see where this goes.
Here we go. So the first question I usually get from people when I tell my story or I go through a half hour, and the first question I get at the end is that actually your last name? So now I just get it out of the open right away so that you guys can actually listen. So usually people say, is Bunny actually your name? And it is. But I was not born with that last name, nor did I marry anybody with the last name Bunny. So this is kind of where my journey in the fitness competition world began. But before that, I'll backtrack into my life as a young girl. And it was pretty much pretty boring. I'd say I don't have anything too exciting. I loved sports ever since I was about 6 or 7, playing volleyball, basketball, track, you know, you name it, I was there. And I knew I was going to do something with nutrition or training. I just had no idea what it was going to be. So I got into volleyball, ended up being pretty good at it, probably because I'm quite tall, and ended up getting a scholarship to University of New Brunswick, where I studied kinesiology. So I was out there, and just like most young girls, we meet the knight in shining armor, or so we think. Yeah, and I followed my heart, which I probably shouldn't have, but I was very young, and moved out to England. And
oh, wow.
When I was out there for 5 years, I continued my studying in the fitness world and nutrition, but our relationship definitely was quite toxic. And being with a controlling husband, I did get married, was not very good for my own health. And I ended up having an eating disorder because that was the only thing I felt that I could control. So going from, I guess, about 140, 150, which I am now, I was about 95 pounds. So,
oh my gosh.
I was quite small, and ended up him having an affair, and I needed to move back to Canada. So that was about 25, I would say. And at that point, I I didn't know what I wanted to do or if I even really wanted to be around. If I'm being honest, it was a very dark period in my life. And I reconnected with my family. And I remember it clear as day. And this is how my transition happened into the fitness world rather than the sports. And my dad looked at me and said, "Are you going to let him win?" And I really didn't care what he said. That didn't really hit me, but it was the look in his eyes. And I can picture that today. And it was more of his disappointment that he couldn't do anything for his daughter. Oh, wow. And I honestly thought, if I keep going, I'm either going to be 6 feet under the grave or I could turn my life around. And if I took the latter of the two, he would just have that look on his eyes the rest of his life. And I couldn't do it. So I grabbed a fitness magazine, went down by the lake, and was just looking through it and said, what would make my dad proud? And I saw a girl wearing a bikini, and she looked beautiful and strong. And I said, I could be her. My dad would be proud of me. And a little bunny ran like really close to my feet. I came home and I said to my dad, this is crazy. I said, Dad, I'm going to be a fitness competitor. I don't even think he knew what that was. He's like, okay. And I registered my business, like Fit Bunny's Fitness, which most of you guys know today, and changed my name to Jill Bunny.
You know what? I did not know that. I honestly thought your last name was always Bunny. And what an amazing story. Because one of the things too that initially attracted me to your story and your business, and really I love everything you do, was the fact that your name is, you call your girls bunnies and we call ours chicks. And I was like, oh, I love that. So awesome. So that happened, and then you just hit the gym or started training others? Or
I was training others because that's what I did for the past, I think, 7-8 years before I started my company. I just worked for like a local gym. And then I just started Fit Bunny's Fitness and was starting to train myself. I did a marathon before I started competing. I said, I'm going to do a marathon, did that. And then I started to compete the day after. I said, I'm going to go and hit the stage. So I just ate better, tried to put on weight, got in connection with a really, really good friend of mine that helped me guide me through the fitness competition world because I had no idea how to even begin. And I think it took me about 6 months, did my first show. I think I placed fourth. And that day was something I'll never forget. I loved it. And it wasn't for anybody but me. Whereas the beginning, I said I was going to prove to my dad that I was strong and also show it to my ex-husband that I was beautiful. That was my mindset at the time. But by the time I got on the stage, I knew that this was for me. And it was so empowering that I was hooked.
And then, so that was, what year was that, was your first competition?
That was 2012. And from 2012 to 2015, I think I competed 11 times, top five in all shows, and then ended up being the highest ranked IFBB competitor in the world with 2 Arnolds, 1 Olympia, and 1 national title.
So good, girl. So good.
Yeah.
I remember watching you. I remember seeing when you won the Arnolds. I was like, yes, Canadian tall girls represent. Because I'm 5'10".
Well. Yes, to tall girls.
But that's one thing I also love. Like, I love about your story and I love about you is I've met you in person and you are so like down to earth, hair in the ponytail, wearing your sweats. And then you see you on stage and you are like this glamazon, like it's just such a transformation. So where are you at now then? Like in terms of fitness competitions going from, are you coaching?
I'm retired. I've always coached and I'll always continue to coach. It's a passion of mine that I'll always have as part of my business. But about 2014, I started to notice my health starting to decline. So some of you guys know my story, but I started to notice a bit of change in my eyesight. And I thought it was just my contacts and that I'm just getting old and my eyesight's going bad. So went to the eye doctors and they said there must be something else going on. Went to a few other doctors and they did some more tests and ended up that I had MS. And it made a lot of sense that my legs weren't working the way that I wanted them to. And just overall, I wasn't feeling right. So I competed for 1 more year, won 2 more titles, but I knew that my body could not handle the competing lifestyle anymore. And I retired 2015 at the Arnold, won that, and that was it. 3 months later, I thought, this will be great. I'll just be on a new chapter in my life. Went in for a routine checkup, which most of you girls should be doing. And they just found a lump of my thyroid and ended up being cancer. So I went through a thyroidectomy November of last year. And just trying to optimize that and get your health back was something I've never had to deal with. And that led me into the world of functional medicine, which we can talk about later. But that's now my new path, is helping women with adrenals and thyroid issues, as well as girls that want to compete in a healthy way.
Well, and that's why, that is really why we wanted you to come on today too, to talk about that whole transition and how to actually, how to compete. If you're going to compete, how to do it healthily, because I think that this is where, you know, and you and I have had conversations before about this. There are so many coaches out there who don't really know what they're doing. And there are a lot of health risks, or can be a lot of health risks involved if you don't have the right coach, or you're not, you know, having the right intake or understanding what's happening in your body. So
yeah.
And I just find you're such the perfect balance of, like, you're the whole package, because, you know, I love anything to do with holistic health as well. I could talk about that for hours. Okay, so I guess then we'll start to break it down. Kind of, I know for a lot of people listening out there, they're still kind of at the place where they're thinking, like, maybe I want to do a fitness competition, but what is a fitness competition? Like, what exactly is it? So maybe you could just explain, like, what are the different levels? How is it judged?
Yeah. So when you compete, if you're going to go for your first time, it would be a regional level show. So a lot of us that are starting to look at pictures and looking at videos, most of those are high level national IFBB athletes. So that's what I say. First of all, look at the basic level. You're not competing against someone that looks like us. Like, we've transformed throughout the years. So that's the first thing. Look at the level that you're at, which would be a regional open level show where anybody can compete at any age, any height class, any weight, doesn't matter. You could sign up for one tomorrow and compete if you wanted to. So a competition usually looks exclusively, obviously, on your looks. Doesn't mean how hard you're working in the gym or how much you eat. They basically look at your body and judge you based on everybody that's on stage with you that day. So they'll look at your conditioning. They'll look at your symmetry, your proportion, and your overall appearance with respect to the category that you're in.
And is there a standard across industries, or is it that judges just have their own personal preference? Like, if they're looking for a harder body or a softer body?
That is a good question, and wish I knew the answer. it's depends on the day. So they have criteria where bikini is, I'd say, simplest terms, that's the least muscular. There's no vascularity or separation of the muscles, and you're a bit, quote unquote, softer. Then you would move up to figure, where you're harder and have a little bit more muscle than bikini. Then you'd have physique, where they're the big girls. That's what I call them. They're the jacked ones. But there's no specific criteria. It always is based on who shows up that day. So some shows, a harder look's going to win. Some is going to be soft. So it really depends on who shows up and who looks more proportioned and conditioned.
That's why one thing I find really hard about fitness competitions is it's not like a game like basketball or volleyball, where it essentially is, you know, who gets the most points wins. It's so subjective.
Yep.
So that then becomes, it's such a hard thing to, you know, achieve what you think the goal is, because the goal is based on whatever the judge is looking for.
Yeah. It's a hard one. And I always say to everybody that you can try and conform to the category, but be you at the end of the day. You know, sometimes they like brunette, sometimes they like blonde. So if you just show up and be you, that's what matters most, in my eyes anyway.
So then when it comes down to, as well, to the difference between, you know, you'll see, like, it's a natural show. What does that mean if someone's looking to compete?
So a natural show, I hope, is someone that doesn't use any steroids or banned substances and diuretics. So they will be clean. that's what most of you girls that are listening, I would assume, would go into. So unless you're going to run steroids, I would stick to the natural stream, because you're against people that aren't doing it as well. And it gives you a better chance. Open, they can run whatever you want. No one will be tested. I will state, though, that in a natural show, they do not always test. It is very expensive to test somebody to see if they've been using steroids. And at a regional level show, most of the time, they won't spend the money to test a person for that.
And is that the thing you see the most of? Like, is it steroid use on in the female categories, or is there a lot of
yes.
other?
It was higher than when I started. I see it in regional level shows, in natural shows, very young girls doing it. It's upsetting, and you don't know the long-term effects of it. So it's hard to watch for sure.
And then I guess that kind of then leads into, you know, my next question, because if a woman is going to be training for a fitness competition, how does that even look for them if they're, you know, obviously not going to do drugs, because we're not promoting drugs in any form. But what does that look like? Is it 8 weeks, 12 weeks, 15 weeks?
Really depends on the individual. And that's what I say. Even if someone was going to run steroids or not, it doesn't matter. They're going to do typically the same thing. And it all depends on what your body looks like to begin with. So usually bikini girls that don't have a substantial amount of weight to lose, it really looks at about 12 weeks, I'd say, is where you'd want to start from to get ready for a show. Other people might have to be 16, 20, 24 weeks. If they have, you know, they want to make that big transformation, it's going to take them a bit longer to do it healthily and, you know, not put your body under too much stress.
And 12 weeks, that seems like a pretty short time frame too. I mean, I know I did a show. I've only ever done one. And, you know, I was very diligent for the 12 weeks. And my experience, there was a lot of positives that came from it, but it's something that for me, having a background in an eating disorder as well, whereas yours was anorexia, mine was bulimia, it really triggered me again. Mm-hmm. And that was something where I became kind of really passionate about having honest conversations about fitness competitions, because if someone is not in a good place emotionally, you know, body image wise, it can really set off a lot of other issues. So I found 12 weeks for me was, even though I did see, you know, some major changes, I probably should have gone longer, and slower.
Yeah, and that's why I say to girls, as soon as you get a coach and you look, if you're small to begin with and you don't have that much weight to lose, like if a young girl in their 20s, 23, they've got a petite frame most of the time. They don't need the extensive amount of time as someone that's maybe a bit older in their late 20s and 30s, even though it's not old. They might need a bit longer. It might be 20, 30 weeks to get ready. It all depends on the individual.
Yeah, and I mean, I was one of the old gals at 35. 35, I'm so old. But then, okay, so still just kind of talking about what they are, and then I really want to dive into your thoughts about certain areas of it. But, you know, why do you think it's become so popular? I find over the last few years, it's just blown up.
Yeah.
And everyone wants to do competition.
It's two reasons. I'd say the most one is social media. That when we started 5 years ago, we didn't have Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook at the amount at our fingertips as we do today. So we see more people doing it, and it looks like fun. So it's in your face a lot more than it used to be. And I think that some people want the attention from their friends and to see that transformation. That it's elusive. And the other part of it is that people want to feel empowered. They want to feel strong. And it's a great way for people to hold themselves accountable to lose the weight if they know they're going to go on stage and have to wear a bikini in front of everybody.
Well, and that's where I look at, you know, a lot of your pictures, and your body is incredible. But I know a lot of the time too, what you have to actually, when you're getting ready for a shoot, you know, you're typically, I'm assuming you're leaning out before that or making, you know what I mean? It's not just Jill Bunny today that I'm talking to.
No.
I don't. Looks the same.
No, it's those photos, you know, when they're on stage, that is the real deal. They're not photoshopped, but you're depleted of water most of the time to get that pristine look. Photo shoot wise, you know, they're usually a bit softer, or they're shooting the day after a show, or they're technically photoshopped. in the lighting. Like, there's some good lighting, you're going to look incredible.
Well, yeah. And that's where I get, you know, mixed. I love social media for so many reasons, but mm-hmm. you know, and I think it's done a lot for women in the way of seeing, now you have access to all different body shapes and types and athletes. And so you can find someone who looks like you. But then at the same time, I also think now we have access to so much that it's like, it becomes such a compare game. And it's,
oh, for sure.
And everyone's posting their highlight reel. Like, no one's posting the bad lighting or, you know, the picture where like you're not sucking in so hard that, you know, you're indented kind of thing.
Yeah, it's only a small glimpse, I say, even in the competition world. Even look at my feed. I said I wouldn't post if I was having a bad day, because you just, that's negative energy you put out there. So it's only a small facet that people see that's not always everything.
No, completely. So then, like, what do you feel then? Okay, so we'll look at the pros and the cons. So mm-hmm. fitness competing, I know you still train competitors, so obviously you still love this world. You have had some, you know, some health issues too that, well, I guess I'll ask you, could or could not have been caused or contributed by
it
that?
Could have. Yeah. You know, I'm never going to get the competing caused your thyroid cancer. I MS caused your, it was caused by fitness competing, but was it a trigger? It could have been a trigger. I had a genetic predisposition for both in the family, mm-hmm. and the stress of competing was up there for sure, both physically and mentally. And that could have been the trigger that exacerbated that to happen for sure.
So then what would you say in your words for somebody like who's looking to compete, the pros of doing a fitness competition and so maybe yeah. like, and the cons, three of each, yeah. let's say.
Ooh, okay. So
you're on the spot.
I like it. For the positives, I'd say you're going to learn a lot about eating for your body type. You're going to learn how to train in a different way than you're used to maybe before you started bodybuilding, quote unquote. And you're going to learn a lot about mental toughness, that's for sure. So that was a big positive. And negatives, one thing that we touched on is body image, that, you know, you can have a really distorted view of what a body should look like. You might lose a few friends in the process. I remember when I started competing, my old friends had no idea what I was doing, and I just got so focused of winning those titles that I kind of lost in touch with a lot of friends. And I missed out on a lot of social events throughout 4 years of, you know, birthdays and Christmases. And that was my choice. I could have still gone to a lot of the parties, but I was so focused. I wanted my sleep that I missed out on some events that, looking back, I probably should have gone to.
Yeah. I understand that. I was like, if I miss one more thing and I only did it for 12 weeks, I was like, ugh, I can't handle this.
Yeah, it's a big commitment for sure.
So, like, if someone was interested in doing a fitness competition then, like, knowing those pros, knowing those cons, mm-hmm. how do you recommend then that they begin the journey in a healthy way? So they're not, you know, going to be suddenly after 12 weeks being like, why the hell do I feel like this? Why do I feel like I just gained 30 pounds after I lost 50 pounds, or, you know, after I lost 20 yeah. pounds? And why is my emotions all over? My hormones are all over. Like, what, how could somebody avoid all of that mm-hmm. stuff?
The first thing I always ask any girl that even applies to work with me, I ask them to ask themselves why they want to compete in the first place. You know, is it to better themselves, challenge their body or their mindset, maybe to prove an ex-boyfriend like myself, or to even, you know, lose weight after giving birth, you know, whatever it's going to be. Maybe they just want to feel hot wearing a bikini. They need to know the reason why behind they're doing that. And we all compete for different reasons. There's not one that's a better reason than the other, but you need to know on an individual basis why you're doing it.
For sure. So when you start with them, like, just say you have your client coming in, mm-hmm. is that something you do on the intake? Is there a conversation? Like, and also how do you check their current health to make sure that they don't mm-hmm. have, you know, a hormonal issue or.
Yeah. It's very hard. Unless they're going to go get a blood panel test for yeah. hormones. It's not going to give you the full intake anyway of our regular conventional medicine. It's only a snapshot, but you know, doing a full intake form, which I do a consult and we talk about it, you know, what are the reasons for? And I've turned away multiple girls that just maybe aren't ready, or, you know, that I just don't feel like they're the right fit for me. I've turned them away. And I've had even conversations long after, and they thanked me for saying no, that it wasn't right for them. So I just say is have a deep conversation with family, friends, and your coach, and, you know, figure out if it's right for you.
That's what I really admire about you, though. Like, I admire, because, you know, being in this industry, I've seen so many, like, sketchy coaches, and not even just, you know, in fitness competing, just in so many different ways. And it's not just taking care of your client's body or helping them achieve a look. It's, you're responsible for their emotional well-being as well. Cause a lot happens when you shift your body, you know?
Yeah.
And it just blows my mind how many people still don't even take that into consideration. It's like, here's your plan, here's your program, go do it. I don't want to hear any griping, or you're just being a complainer kind of thing.
Yeah. Yep.
Sorry, that was my own little personal tangent about it.
No, I completely agree.
So then, like, just a list then, maybe who should not be competing?
So that's a good question. So I usually say there's no set rule with regards to, like, a certain criteria that says you shouldn't compete. You can't label someone, say, because you have an eating disorder, you shouldn't compete. It depends on that individual and the coach and the aim of the show. Mm-hmm. So I've had quite a few girls that have had eating disorders, or they did, and we actually got them to stage and got them in remission of their eating disorder by competing. But they have to have the right mindset. And what is their reason? I want to start putting on weight. I want to look stronger. I want to have the muscle. That was my reason. And I had an eating disorder, and the fitness competitions actually reverse that, which is unheard of in most cases. However, if someone has an eating disorder, yet in their mind, I want to get skinnier, I want to look smaller, that would not be the right place. Yeah. So I usually say, on an individual basis, you know, do you have health concerns? Do you have a thyroid issue? You know, I have many competitors that have thyroid issues, but they're optimized. They are healthy. They can compete. But if your, you know, hormones, adrenals are out of whack, I would say you need to make sure that that's healthy before you even try and, you know, dial in for the stage, because it just won't work. So never set criteria of who shouldn't, but it's always an individual, I would say, that you really need to look at to see if you're able to compete.
So when you're looking at then the long-term health of someone who, you know, after they've competed, because obviously any type of exercise is a stress on the body.
For sure.
And we need to support the body in the healing. And I know that your passion is all about thyroid health, adrenals, mindset. So, like, how does somebody make sure that they're managing or supporting those after?
Yeah. So I say, first of all, you need to have the right coach and approach competing in the right way, that your health is of optimal importance. So having, you know, blood work every 3 months, I say, is very important. So making sure that, you know, you have a doctor that understands what you're doing and isn't one that completely pushes that away and thinks this is the dumbest thing on earth. You don't want that. You want someone that supports you in your decisions, and together can progress through all the stages of competing. And a big thing is having a coach that I'd say has an expertise in life coaching that can help guide them in their mental health through an on season, through an off season, where you're going to be reversing out of your diet. And most of all is having the proper amount of time in an off season to regulate your hormones and adrenals after you dial in for the stage.
Well, and that's one thing I see so much of, and I'm happy you brought that up, is that it's after these shows, you know, everyone's gung-ho before the show and during the show, but as soon as the show ends, you know, a lot of these girls are left with no support, and they don't know what the heck is happening, and they're not properly reverse dieted out, their metabolisms are low.
Yeah.
Like you said, then they just jump into the next show right away because they're thinking, oh shit, I'm gaining weight. Let me do the thing I know will make me lose weight, which is another show, which then is causing adrenal fatigue or contributing to it.
Yeah, bang on. And I usually say to people, if you have a coach and when you ask them, it's, okay, what am I doing as a reverse diet? And very simply, if any of you guys have competed or you're like, I don't know what to do afterwards, and your coach kind of leaves you, very simple, take your plan and reverse out of it. So if you took 12 weeks to reverse into or to dial in, you take 12 weeks to reverse out. And easy thing is grab your 2 week out food plan, then the next week, 3 weeks out, 4 weeks out. That's the easiest way to reverse properly without, you know, causing some serious damage or extensive weight gain.
Oh, I love that way of thinking about it. I've never thought about it that way, because I know a lot of people ask me questions about reverse dieting, and I talk a lot about, you know, the macros calculation, but I didn't even think about breaking it down as simple as just being like, literally do your reverse diet.
Yeah, that's pretty much. I'm like, gonna lose a job now.
You're like, it was my secret all along.
Damn, you guys got my secret out of me. But yeah, that's what you do. And I say usually it's at about 8 weeks out that these people that you're, you know, you're happy with your way your body looks. And that's why I say, as you get to a certain week, you're like, you know what, I'm happy the way this looks. You're like, oh, this is my 8 week out plan. There are your macros, ladies. There you go. And that's what you can follow, and you'll should be able to keep that physique.
That is such a good way of looking at it. See, this is why I love these podcasts too. I learn so much.
We learn so much from each other. It's fantastic.
So then if somebody's looking for a coach, so like, let's say I'm looking to do a competition, I'm going to interview coaches. Cause this is also something I think that people really need to do, is not just go with the first person they Google. You know, when you're hiring a personal trainer, a coach, a fitness professional, I think you should interview them to make sure, like you were saying, they're a fit for you. They're a fit for your philosophies and the way that you live. Like, when I did my fitness competition, for me, it was interesting because the coach that I went with, I really liked him, but there was a lot of disconnect in our belief systems and in our approach to training. So I'm much more in the way that you are. Like, I think I should have gone to you to do the show.
Well, if you want to do another one, you know.
Well, yeah, seriously, because it's like I'm all about the holistic health and supporting the body as a whole. And he was just more about like reaching that target. So
yeah,
I do wish I would have actually did a little bit more digging before I chose him as my coach. But if there was, you know, maybe like 3 to 5 questions someone should be emailing to a coach to ask them to know if they're a fit for them, or, or if that's somebody they should work with, what would you recommend?
Yeah, so the first thing I would say, the biggest one is what qualifications do they have? You know, do your background research before you kind of even give them a call. First of all, you should be able to speak to them on the phone. If it's online and you never get to talk to them, I would run away that this is your life, and it should be a one-to-one custom approach. So I like talking to people. But qualifications is one of the biggest one. Where do they go to school? You know, what credentials do they have on the back of their name? That is very important to know that, you know, they are qualified to coach you. It's not a regulated sport, but you want to make sure they do have nutrition and training background. I would say do your research and see if they have a website. I see all too many times coaches that are off in contest prep. They've done 1 or 2 shows and all they have is a social media account and a Gmail or Hotmail. So if you're emailing someone with Gmail or Hotmail, I'd probably run away. I would look at what is their experience in the fitness industry? You know, have they competed? Have they not? That's not a big thing, but what is their experience? What is their track record with clients that have competed? And a big one I'd say is, what is their full-time job? You know, are they a teacher? Are they, I don't know, a bartender, and then they do competing on the side? You know, if this is something that you're going to take seriously, I would hire somebody that does this full-time. You know, if you're going to go to a dentist, I wouldn't want a part-time dentist, to be honest.
No, exactly. And it's funny because when it comes to fitness, a lot of times people, I feel like they don't take it as seriously in the, especially for competitions, because there is some real damage you can do.
It's a lot more serious than I would say playing a sport. Like, this is 24/7. This is your life. So it's very important. And that brings to like, does their training and nutrition philosophy match yours, just like you were talking about? And then I would also say, are you able to connect with their athletes they have right now, or previous athletes or retired athletes, and look at how their health is? You know, are they having kids now, for example? You know, are they at a healthy weight, or are they mentally just not there? So those are some key points that I would look at when you're looking for a coach.
Well, and that's, I love you said that, because I think it's such a short-term situation that can affect such long-term things in your life. Yeah. And I know you actually wrote an awesome book about life after competing, and it's on Amazon, right?
Yes.
I'm going to put, so anyone listening, there'll be links to both of Jill's books below this post. But like, after competing, like, how is that transition? Like, how do you create a life after competing?
You know what? It was hard. I said, it depends on how long you've been in the sport, how much you invested into it. If you have a full-time job outside of the fitness world and you did it for, you know, a bit of time, a bit of shows, it's a bit easier to transition out. But I'd say if this was your full-time job, or like your full-time commitment and you put everything into it, to do something else can be, you know, demoralizing, can be, you get depression, loss of identity. You see a lot of negative effects after if they didn't properly prepare for it. And luckily for myself, it was definitely hard. I didn't expect to get the health implications that I did, but I actually believe that that helped me through a life after competing, because it was focusing on getting healthier rather than losing that image of being a bikini competitor. So it was actually pretty good in that sense. But I would say if you don't have a plan while you're competing, it's going to be harder for you. That most of the time we are so narrow focused that when we're out, we don't know what to do with ourselves and we feel lost. So I say to any girl that I coach is be well-rounded in your life, that from relationships to work, personal life, social life, you need to have things outside of competing so that when you're done, it's a little bit easier to move forward.
Well, yeah, and you see it all the time on social media. It's like there's girls that I've followed and maybe it's a year or 2 years after competing, they're still saying, oh, I'm fluffy, you know, mm-hmm. or using words that are like, oh, you know, need to dial it back in. And it's almost like they're still living in that past, which I can relate to. I mean, even for myself, it was definitely a really hard transition going from 12 weeks of every single day, my entire life was focused around what I ate, what my body looked like, how much I could lift. And it was just so about me that I kind of, and I know my personality, I'm better when I'm giving, you know, like that's where when I'm too self-focused, it's like, it's not good for me. So afterwards I was like, whoa, I had such a hard time just wrapping my head around seeing my body change again. And, but I'll never regret it. You know, people always ask me like, do you regret doing it? I'm like, no, because I learned a lot about my body. I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about training. And I can speak to it from a personal experience as opposed to, you know, just watching competitions and seeing what girls go through.
Yep. And like I say to most girls, it's don't be afraid to reach out and ask for help when you're know that your time is done. Or maybe some of you guys that are listening have competed and are still feeling lost, that don't be afraid to reach out and ask for help from, you know, a professional, a life coach that's dealt with competition prep or sports related. Like that's what their profession is. That's what their expertise is in, to be able to help guide you in that right direction.
Well, and that's why I think everyone who has competed, who's struggling, should totally get your book. And I think this is my plug for you too, because I think you're awesome. And you were one of the very first, when I was competing, the very first fitness accounts I got, I looked at on Instagram. And during my whole transition, and I started following a lot of them, I deleted like all but like five, because I felt like they were not contributing positively to my life. And I still love yours because you talk about every facet of it. You talk about the training, the nutrition, the mindset, you know, the thyroid, the adrenals, like everything that goes into it. And I just think you're such a positive voice in this industry. And I think a lot of women, if they're not following you, need to check out your stuff.
Oh, thank you very much.
No, and I'm not just like blowing smoke. I truly think this, and even meeting you in person, and that's why I loved it, because I actually met you at my show. You were with another some of your girls who were competing, and I remember.
Oh, fantastic!
Yeah, and I remember seeing you, and I was like, "Oh my God, she's like a normal girl," because all your pictures were like so glam, but then you look just as beautiful.
Yeah, I'm totally just a normal Jane.
In your sweat. Okay, so then now turning it back to you then. So with your health, where you're at right now, you know, what's going on? Like, how are you going to be going full time into functional medicine? Like,
so I'm in school now. So I went back to school. So it'll be about 5 years. So I decided to go back in and learn functional medicine. And that's just looking at the root causes of disease and illnesses. And I can really apply that just into my business today. So that's not going to change in respect to Fit Bunnies. It'll still run. But just having that background knowledge, I can help ladies that are going through adrenal fatigue, thyroid issue, hormonal imbalances on a deeper level than just trying to cover up the symptoms. I'm going to try and find the underlying cause, which is fantastic and absolutely love it. And doing a lot of life coaching too. So when I funny enough, when I finished competing, I knew that I needed to get some help. I needed someone to guide me in the right direction. And I found that I don't listen to many people.
So I said,
you know what? I'm like, what are these like counselors? How do they know how this information? I want to learn that. So I took a 6-month life coaching course for myself. And that's actually how I really helped transition through. So now I end up life coaching a lot of competitors now, which is a lot of fun.
It's so good though. And so needed. Like I see you on like the forefront of the shift in this industry. Cause I think people are starting to sense, you know, well, they're starting to sense the BS, but they're also understanding, yeah, you know, what actually is happening to their bodies if they're not doing it properly.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of health issues. And I said, and luckily I'm out in the sense I'm not competing, that I have no problems. Anybody want to ask me something, I will tell you the answer straight up. So,
and I know sometimes that causes waves.
Yes, it does.
But whatever, we'll ride them. It's all good. So then, okay, well, we're going to start to wrap this up, but I'd love to know then, like, how do you personally balance your own workouts now and your nutrition with all of these other amazing things that you're doing, mm-hmm, with Fit Bunnies and with your functional medicine and life, mm-hmm, coaching?
And getting married, so.
And getting married,
yeah. The second time's the right way, right?
Second time's a charm. And in Jamaica, on top of that, like.
Exactly. Can't go wrong. I actually just learned the hard way. That's the only way I learn things, unfortunately. And enduring illness and pushing myself to the extremes, I realized that it doesn't work. And working harder is not the right attitude, and just working smarter. And that's kind of what I did. And getting that cancer card was a wake-up call, and I realized that all the trophies that are behind me right now, I can't take them to the grave, and all I wanted was family and love. And so that brought me a step back and to try and realize that I need to have a more well-rounded life. And by disconnecting from social media and spending a majority of my time away from technology, actually, even though we're on technology now.
I know, it's crazy. It's one of those things that it's like a love-hate relationship. You know, it's great for so many things, but, mm-hmm, at the same time, it's like, if you don't disconnect from it, you lose parts of who you are and you miss so many moments too.
Yeah. That's what I say to people. I'm like, one-to-one connection, you know, being able to sit there and talk to your loved ones without the technology in your phone creates so much balance. And, you know, I am so much more productive when I get back to work, when I have those breaks and can just shut off.
Oh, we love it. So then my final question then is it, and we always like to end with like a piece of life advice from, mm-hmm, whoever we're interviewing, because I love hearing everyone's different perspective. So, mm-hmm, if you had one piece of life advice, and it could be about your craft or not, mm-hmm, that would help women just live fiercer, happier, healthier, what would that piece of advice be?
I would say believe in yourself and be you. That, you know, enough of this bullshit anymore, that I don't think I can do this, I can't do that. Just when you start believing wholeheartedly that you can do something, great things will happen. And as soon as I started believing in myself and my self-worth, and I was capable of love, you know, I deserved all of those things, I actually started to get them. And that's what I say to any woman that comes in contact, just believe whatever you want, believe that you can have it, and it will happen. Other than the lottery, I haven't got that. I do believe I should win that.
I'm still believing that too. We'll put the vibes out there right now together. I love that. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, that's no problem. I had a blast.
Like, I absolutely love everything you're doing. I love your insight. You are brilliant, and you are just such a light in this industry. And like I was saying, for anyone who's listening, if you have any thoughts about competing, questions about competing, like, check out Jill. It's Jill, fitbunnies.com.
Fitbunnies.ca.
Yeah. We'll also, again, have everything linked underneath the blog post. Also check her out on social media at Jill Bunny. Like, literally everything you do, I just love it. And I love that you're bringing a lot of truth to what's happening in this area of fitness. So
us girls got to stick together, right?
Bunnies and chicks. Heck
yeah. There you go.
Okay, so with that, we're going to wrap it up. And of course, everything will be on our blog. And if you have any questions at all for me or need any connections to get in touch with Jill, you can also reach out to me at fitchicksacademy.com.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me again.
Thanks. Bye, Jill.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.